The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
All right, it's halftime. Quick takes, essay. Let's get it. The OBJ tour in full effect after he met with the New York Football Giants yesterday. Reunion tour. What? What do you make of this visit?
A waste of time. Oh. He ain't going back to the Giants, and
they don't want him back.
I don't know what the hell they would. First of all, they should never be forgiven for letting him go. He broke no laws. He committed no crimes. Just because he caused a headache here and there, and you let him go, hell with the New York Giants. They don't deserve him. Even though I love my man Brian Daboll, they don't deserve him. I'm talking about the higher up within that organization. And I wish OBJ nothing but the best elsewhere other than East Rutherford, New Jersey.
You know what? And we don't deserve Marcus Spears. Let me tell you why, Stephen A.
Uh-oh.
So LeBron James, the king, had some high praise for Marcus Spears tweeting on Wednesday. Man, I watch NFL Live almost every day because I simply love football, but I watch it even more when Marcus Spears is on there. Dude's IQ on the sport, dope, funny as hell. And you can tell he's just being himself, not hating, speaking the game, and it's facts. So first... Oh. Let me welcome my Bart Scott.
Oh.
Hey, Bart. Hey, Miami.
No lies told.
Right?
I appreciate King James, man. Y'all know that's my favorite basketball player. I'm not going to go into a long soliloquy about it. I get that word from Stephen A., but Bron has been my favorite basketball player. He's the greatest to ever do it in my mind. We don't need to have that argument either. But to see one of your peers, somebody in your generation respect what you do, it's the ultimate compliment. So shout out to King James because I got the same level of respect for him with what he do.
Well, damn it, I got something to say. It ain't going to be that short. Number one, okay, a couple of things that I want to say. First of all, LeBron James need to stop lying. As much as I love Swaggoo on NFL Live, let me explain.
Okay.
As much as I love Swaggoo on NFL Live, and I'm sure LeBron James might have seen him on NFL Live, he hear that brother on first take. He just don't want to admit he watched the show. But that's all right, LeBron James. That's all right. Yes, I understand that. You don't want to admit that you watch. Well, guess what? I'm a bigger man than LeBron James. I watch The Shop every chance I get with LeBron, my boy Maverick Carter, and the crew. Okay?
Yes, sir.
Paul Rivera and all. I watch The Shop. Every chance I get, so I'm going to be bigger than that. Number one. Number two, you do a hell of a job on the NFL, my brother. I am proud of you and what
you're doing
on NFL Live. You make me proud, my man, every day, all day. Yeah. Keep doing what you're doing. And last but not least, what the hell is this world coming to? Bart Scott is usually suited down, suited and booted, chilling at the seaport and stuff like that, but casually, sharp but casual.
Where are you?
Now he all buttoned up in South Beach. The hell is going on? You understand what the hell's going on?
Hey, man, it's Art Basil, man. You got to step your game up, baby. When in Rome, do what the Romans do.
I forgot that's happening right now.
Okay.
Good for you. Well, have fun.
I will say this.
Have fun.
That gray suit that you had on last week was fly as hell. That belonged in South Beach. That brown one should have been here.
Okay.
Just a suggestion.
I don't have time for the fashion.
Listen, what can brown do for you? What can brown do for you?
Marcus, I just want to say I co-sign everything that LeBron said about you, and you're an even better man than you are analyst, and we're lucky to have you.
What about what I said? What about why I got to be what LeBron said? Why can't it be what I said? You can't say it.
Let's carry on in the words of Kendrick Perkins. The Bills finally got that first AFC's win last night, downing the Pats 24-10, despite being many people's favorite to win the Super Bowl. Buffalo was 0-2 in the division before the Thursday night victory with losses to both the Dolphins and the Jets. Taking a look at the best chance to win the AFC this season, the Chiefs and Bills have the two best chances at 47% and 27% respectively, followed by the Ravens, Bengals, and Dolphins. All right, Bart, let me ask you this. Are the Bills the biggest threat to the Chiefs in the AFC?
Not at all. To me, it has to be the Cincinnati Bengals. They returned to the scene of the crime after smacking them up in Cincinnati and then went there and boldly took care of business. And then, listen, they're repeat offenders because if you look at what they did to the Tennessee Titans just last week, holding King Henry to, I believe, 38 yards rushing, 2.2 yards per carry, they're tough. right? So and they got a lot of swagger. If you saw Alex Kappa coming off the field, he was telling, you know, Tennessee in so many words that he wasn't a fan of theirs. And they walk around with a swagger, and it's led by Joe Cool. And if Joe Cool hadn't been had offseason surgery and got a slow start to the season, we'll be talking about him in the MVP race. Listen, they don't fear the Kansas City Chiefs because they can go score for them. And why I put them ahead of the Buffalo Bills is because without Micah Hyde, the two best safeties in the game is Von Bell and Jesse Bates. And they have an ability to slow down, not stop, Travis Kelce. And DJ Reader, before he got hurt, was playing the best football as any interior lineman in the game. So when you talk about what they did to Kansas City last year, putting up 266 yards by Ja'Marr Chase in one game, and Justin Reed better be very careful because he is selling a lot of wolf tickets and he is new to this rivalry and he can be exposed and made example of by Joe Burrow. He's just that petty.
Bart, I feel you, and I understand all of the things you just said, and rightfully so. I think Josh Allen got the one element, though, that can raise to the level of the Kansas City Chiefs. When you start talking about just pure playmaking ability, and I know Joe is phenomenal. Look, man, I love Joe Burrow. Everybody knows that. He has the talent and the weapons around him. We made an argument that this is the best skill position group in totality in Cincinnati in the entire NFL with Boyd, obviously Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins, and then adding Hayden Hurst, who's playing well for them, and mixing in the backfield. I still believe Buffalo, though. I believe Buffalo because of the moments that they've been in, but more importantly, their quarterback and his ability to change games more than with his arm. And I get on Josh Allen about seeking out contact, the potential to get hurt, and all of those things. But I'm not sure, outside of real authentic running backs and Lamar Jackson, that there's a more devastating guy with his legs. I know Justin, I'm talking about guys that's in contention. I know Justin Fields is in there. I know Jalen Hurts is in there, but Jalen is on the other side of the conference, obviously. Josh Allen, to me, minus everything that's crumbling around him, can raise to that level. One, because we've seen him do it when they were down there. Had nothing to do with him why Buffalo lost that game against Kansas City last year in the playoffs. And then this year beat Kansas City throwing three touchdowns. But also, when it's on the line in those critical third downs, which you know these playoffs come down to a lot, when we start talking about devastating teams, I still believe Josh Allen is the one quarterback out of all of those other guys outside of Lamar in the AFC that can raise that level individually to match what Patrick Mahomes has the potential to do. And that's why I got them as the biggest threat.
For me, Bart, I'm going to stick with Swagoo on this. I get what you're saying about Cincinnati. That's an incredibly compelling argument. We can't refute that. I'm just of the mindset that Josh Allen is that dude and that they're hungry and highly motivated. Let's also take into account, not only do we look at Stephon Diggs, a 1,200-yard receiver this year, everything that we could say about Ja'Marr Chase to some degree in terms of his connection with Burrow is what we could say about Diggs in terms of his relationship with Allen. And that Detroit game told me a lot because Buffalo was obviously struggling. And you saw Stephon Diggs screaming at them, "Get me the ball. Come to me. Don't go nobody else. Don't go to nobody else. Come to me." And then delivered. And I think that that element is what you need. There's no doubt that Ja'Marr Chase can do it. His talent says he can do it. There's no doubt that T. Higgins can do it. His talent says he can do it. But I've seen Stephon Diggs do it too. And so when I take that into consideration, I can't ignore that. I also got to look at a guy like Gabe Davis and the way he's elevated his level of play as a secondary threat. And then I can't sneeze at Dawson Knox. Then last but not least, this cat Devin Singletary, for those that are not paying attention, he's averaging nearly 4.5 yards a carry. I'm just saying. He's averaging nearly 4.5 yards a carry. We can't ignore that. And then the running ability of Josh Allen comes into play as well, and their motivation because, again, we're talking about the biggest threat to the Chiefs. Mm. We know what Cincinnati can do because they've done it. You talk about a team starving to do it, that everything they've done has evolved around beating that team because that team is the team that's been in their way the last 2 or 3 years. I think the Bills, that make them the biggest threat to the Chiefs right now.
All right, we'll leave it there. Bills defense is allowing 18 points per game. That's third most in the NFL.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast.
Have you ridden an electric bike yet? Well, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to more exploring time outside on their bikes. So they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range for up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome. So you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting lectricebikes.com. That's lectricebikes.com. Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part, each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code TAKE. That's code TAKE. Visit vividseats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live. Welcome back into First Take.
Yo, man, yo, Bar Scott, man, I'm just sitting here. Man, I'm not going to show it anything. I want to, because we ain't trying to promote brands and stuff like that. But but Molly got some herbal beverage and stuff she be, you know, she messes
always, Bar. You know what it is.
And I don't know about it. I just have to look at it to inspect it, because, you know, her mood does change. And then the diet might have something to do it. I got to check that
out. You got to watch Molly when
we got to watch that.
It's dandelion coffee. Okay, Google it.
Dandelion
coffee. It's good for digestion.
Exactly.
Oh, Lord,
cleanses your liver.
Oh, Lordy knows.
Okay, we'll pick some games.
Let's go.
All right.
Let's go.
We got some good NFL games. Oh, I love you, Bart. Someone's in my corner. Chiefs, Bengals, who you got? Talk to me. Bart, you're up first.
Man, Chief, I'm going to go back to the scene of the crime. And listen, I'm going to take the Bengals. And Justin Reed has been writing a lot of checks. And he's new to this rivalry. I'm telling you, they're going to expose him. He's calling them out saying he's going to lock them down. He must have forgot that defense is protected by that Chiefs offense. That defense isn't that great. And that secondary doesn't match up well against the Cincinnati Bengals.
I'm going to go with the Chiefs. I think the Chiefs are going to go on the road.
You love
and I think my man Travis Kelce and Patrick Mahomes gonna find a way to pull it out. You can talk about all this coverage and the safeties all you want to. Patrick Kelce's that dude. Best tight end in football right now. Is that clear, Bart Scott? Is there a better tight end in football than Travis Kelce?
It's not. Mark Andrews got hurt.
Okay. Even when he's healthy, I never thought he was better than Travis Kelce. See, that's that Baltimore Ravens. You know, that's that affinity right there. Ain't no way that Mark Andrews is better than Travis Kelce.
He had 1,200 yards receiving last year. 1,200.
I don't care. He ain't better than Travis Kelce. You need to stop that. Let's go.
That is true. I do.
All right, let's pick another one. Another good one. I'll start with you this time. Dolphins at Niners.
I think the 49ers are winning this game.
Yeah?
Their defense is real. And I think that Tyreek Hill, a superstar that he is, along with Jalen Waddle, I understand that. But here's the thing. I think they're going to put a hat on Tua Tagovailoa. I think they're going to put a hat on him. They're going to put some pressure on him. They're going to hit him a lot. And I think that's the reason why San Francisco wins this game. It'll be close, but they'll win this game.
Listen, I never want to count out a team that can score so explosively, but without the left tackle Armstead, and you got Nick Bosa over there and those guys over there eating, D'Amico Ryan has that defense playing at a top level. You talk about a defense that hasn't given up a score in the second half, that means they adjust well. You know, McDonald knows everything that he knows from Shanahan. So this is kind of like, you know, the teacher versus the pupil. And let's see what goes down. I mean, I think the San Francisco 49ers are the most dangerous team in all of football going into postseason because the run game and defense travels well. I don't know if Miami can take the show on the road in the elements on the grass surface. And we're going to find out a lot about the Miami Dolphins in the next 3 weeks as they got to go back out west and play the Chargers. Then they have to go up to Orchard Park and play the team that Stephen A. believes is the biggest threat to the Kansas City Chiefs. We're going to find out a lot about the Dolphins and Tua Tagovailoa now that he's going to have some heat on them.
No, for sure. And I'm looking forward to that. That's a good point. Bart, how about Titans-Eagles? Who you got, Bart?
This is tough because, like, listen, the Eagles admitted that they have a problem. They went out and got Ndamukong Suh and Linval Joseph because they recognize that they can't stop the run. And I believe that the Titans can play takeaway from the Eagles, much like the Commanders played against the Eagles, and set that off that explosive offense on the bench because King Henry can just keep the chains moving. And we know guys are starting to make business decisions in the second half of those games. They're all jacked up on Mountain Dew in the first half when they're getting King Henry down. But, man, when that guy gets in space, man, and those two tools are coming at you, you got to decide how bad you love football.
For me personally, I think this is a game the Eagles lose. I don't like the way the Eagles have looked defensively over the last several weeks, especially against the run, and I think it's going to take another loss to get them right. Me personally, I want them ready for the postseason. I don't think you get ready for the postseason by squeaking out these games or playing on a subpar level. There are things they have to fix on the defensive side of the ball, and I think Tennessee coming off a loss, level understanding the level of urgency attached to them, if they want to be major players in the AFC picture, I think they recognize this is an important game they need to win. I think they find a way to win this game.
All right, Bart.
So, Steven, you're saying you're opening the door for the Cowboys to threaten for the division? That's what you're saying, Steven?
Yeah, they could threaten. I don't care about the Cowboys winning the division. As long as the Cowboys don't end up Super Bowl champions, that's all I care about. I don't worry about nothing else.
Bart, how about Washington versus my Giants? Who you got?
Man, this is tough, man, because I love Wink Martindale and I love Daboll, but I have to go with the Commanders. The Commanders are the healthier football team. They're dynamic on the outside. Eventually, they're going to get Chase Young back. And I just think that, you know, without Adoree Jackson, without McKinney, who had the accident during the bye week, I just think they run out of good players. And it's just too much to ask of Daniel Jones and Saquon Barkley to go out and beat a football team that has, you know, has Curtis Samuels and has, you know, Terry McLaurin out there in a plethora of great outside weapons. I think Tyler Heinicke is here to stay.
The Giants don't have anything. All they got is Saquon Barkley, and he ain't 100%. I mean, come on. Listen, Daboll did a great job. He did the best job he could possibly do, but I think that we're going to witness the Giants nosediving to some degree because they are simply a team bereft of weapons. Why else would this organization that casted OBJ out for basically nothing as far as I'm concerned, why would they be interviewing him again? You know why? Because they know they're desperate. But guess what? He ain't coming to the Giants because he knows he ain't going to have nobody throwing him the football. They're just not that good.
Why take the visit?
Huh?
Why take the visit then?
Because he believes it'll up his marketability.
Raise the price. But why get rid of Kadarius Toney and watch Kadarius Toney be one of the best weapons with Patrick Mahomes when you had him
in the
building, knowing you didn't have that talent?
That's true.
Did you have to bring that up?
Yes. They have no business doing that.
We're going to watch Kadarius Toney shine.
You already knew it's a rough day for me.
Yeah, it's okay, Molly. Just drink some of your dandelion tea to flush out all the pain in your chest.
That's what it does. It's a detoxer. Lord. I'm so – Bart, I'm impressed. Mm-hmm.
Okay. He does know that stuff, though. He does know that stuff. He's built like a damn brick house. I mean, how do you think that happened? He knows what he's eating.
It feeds my neck.
Exactly.
All right. Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Hey, hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes, catch the clutch hits, strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-time chimney sweepers, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish, but you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root, root, root with nothing on your roof. Yes, stream your team. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit directtv.com to sign up today. Claim based on the total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Thanks so much for listening to the First Take Pod. Have a fabulous day. Quick takes, let's get it. Tyson Fury's retirement claim lasted only a few months as Fury put his WBC World Heavyweight Championship on the line tomorrow to fight Derek Chisora. Earlier this week, he said this quote, "I feel like boxing missed me. Boxing's dull without the gypsy." That sounds like something you would say. "Boxing's dull without the Gypsy King. Very boring." Stephen A., what do you think?
Well, I think he's right to some degree because he's a great champion, a very gifted boxer. Him and Deontay Wilder, I still love Deontay Wilder. People keep forgetting that Deontay Wilder lost to a man 38 pounds heavier than him, but he still dropped the dude twice. I just think that this is it's an indication of what's wrong with boxing. Terrence Crawford, Errol Spence Jr., we want that fight. Thanks again to Ryan Garcia and Gervonta Davis for giving us that big fight, okay? We want to see one of the Charlo brothers or Benavidez, Canelo against one of them, etc. We wanted the bigger Charlo, not the smaller Charlo. We want to see that. Tyson Fury is just telling us, yo, we're not giving boxing fans what they deserve, and he's trying to. I wish it were against a better opponent personally, but I love the fact that he's unretired.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's keep it going here, guys. And another one, that bad man Aaron Rodgers turns 39 today. Happy birthday, Aaron. Your gift, a meeting with a familiar foe Sunday, the Bears. Justin Fields was a full go in practice yesterday. Rodgers 24-5 in his career against Chicago, including the playoffs. Does the mastery continue Sunday, Swaggo?
It does, Molly Q. I think this offense is actually finding a little stride. Now, obviously, Aaron's health is directly tied to how well they play. But over the last couple weeks, you see this offense starting to wake up a little bit. Justin Fields being a little bit hampered with the shoulder. I know that has nothing to do with his legs and how effective he's been on the ground. But I just think Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay in this particular game is going to have a day.
Listen, it's against the Bears. It's against the Bears. I mean, what do you expect? I mean, the
bottom line. Are you going to DJ for the second half of the show? I would love that.
Phone just came
a little two-step. Yeah.
The bottom line is this. He's playing against the Bears. If Mike White can go out there and ball out against the Chicago Bears, do you know how bad Aaron Rodgers is going to look if he doesn't?
Yeah.
I mean, I understand what the history is. I understand how I own you. I still own you. Like he said last, I get all of that. But could you imagine what the year that the Green Bay Packers had? If you want to put the seal on the coffin, let Aaron Rodgers go out there and stink up the joint against the Chicago Bears one Sunday after Mike White put 300-plus yards on them for the New York Jets. I mean, that would be embarrassing.
First of all, Steven, his name is Mike White. You got to say it the right way. That's how we say it around here in New York. You got to put some respect on it. And secondly, like, he will be going against Justin Fields, not going against Trevor Siemian. This is what I'm saying. Aaron Rodgers shouldn't even be playing, y'all. That's the real conversation we need to be having. Jordan Love needs to be evaluated. We need to see Jordan Love evaluation because we need to have one or two conversations with Aaron Rodgers. We think that we can get something for you. Jordan Love is ready to take your position, much like you took Brett Favre's position after 3 years of sitting behind him. You can do our team a favor. We'll do you a favor by sending you to a team that you can win a Super Bowl with. Or we're talking to Aaron Rodgers saying, we need to evaluate Jordan Love so we can try and get rid of him and trade him for somebody like Jimmy G was traded for to get some draft equity, because there's no reason to have this kid sitting on the damn bench. We don't know if he can play.
Hey, listen, we were talking about that earlier this week. I'm glad you brought that up, because I got a question for you and Swaggoo. I just thought about this as Bart Scott was talking. I didn't have this plan, Swaggoo. It just popped in my head. You know, we hold Jordan Love accountable, and we say, you know what, he might not be ready. Is it possible that Green Bay is afraid for us to see Jordan Love in case he's not ready, because it highlights their lack of player development? I'm just asking.
That's a great,
is that possible?
That's a great question, Stephen A. That's a great question. And your question just sparked something in my mind. I love how this show is going, because we're opening things up. We're opening up boxes. It may be that they don't want to display him because somebody going to come get him. That could be a situation, too. as far as how he played. Man, Jordan Love looked fine to me against the Eagles late in that game.
He looked good.
Like, he looked fine to me. Now, and to your point, Bart, I think we all in line with Aaron Rodgers seeing what Jordan Love have. You getting to the window of having to make a decision on him anyway, and you sitting here trying to figure out where the future of your team lies. And I've always said, and I've been on the show, and me and Stephen A. have argued about the bad man, other shows as well. I said a year ago that the Green Bay Packers should trade Aaron Rodgers. And everybody was looking at me stupid because he had just won the league MVP. But the bottom line is there is nothing about Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers, even with this three-year, $150 million deal, that makes you comfortable that he's going to want to be there. That makes you comfortable that this is going to work out and everything is going to be fine because he has a check. And that's the reason I say you should be looking for trade possibility along with figuring out what Jordan Love is.
Jordan Love may be something. Now that we realize that he was being coached by Nathaniel Hackett, it took a year to wash that stench off of him.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Hackett out here ruining dreams, man. Hackett got Russell Wilson looking like he ain't never played football before.
Russell Wilson playing like Charlie Wilson.
Wait a minute. What's wrong with Charlie Wilson?
I love the gap band. He's a great singer. I don't think he can play ball though.
I understand that, but you said he's playing like Charlie Wilson, so people going to think you talk about his music. You ain't talking about his music. We need to make sure we clarify that.
I love some Gap Band, some Charlie Wilson.
Russell Wilson, I mean, he looks bad, and I'm not even laughing about it. Now, Hackett, he's over. He's got to go. They got new ownership up in there in Denver. They're going to get rid of him. And that better be the reason why Russell Wilson looks this bad. Because people talk about Taylor, I still believe in Russell Wilson. I cannot believe that there could be that dramatic of a precipitous drop-off. I can't believe it. It's just that bad.
I just think that's too much.
You wake up one day, like, it's amazing, right? Because we have a football season. It's in two years, but it's in 1 year's time. I've seen guys' athleticism fall off the face of the earth, and they just looked great 6 months ago. It looks like Russell Wilson doesn't have the quick twitch anymore to be those off-schedule, let Russ cook moonball type of plays.
Bart, you're sure that's it?
With all the help,
you don't think it's the coach,
I never thought that Russell would be the worst Wilson in football.
Wow. That sounds funny, but he's right. Russell Wilson looks that bad.
Yeah.
Does that fall on Russell Wilson, or is that falling more on everything going down there in Denver? The coach, the offense, et cetera.
More of it is falling on Russell Wilson. He got $250 million, Molly. That's always going to be the overall arching theme around Russell Wilson. And two, when we talked about this situation 2 years previous to this, we all talked about how Denver was a quarterback away. And when they signed Russell Wilson, the excitement about this division came up, and everybody was like, oh, this is about to be the greatest division in football. And Russell Wilson playing like crap, Josh McDaniels looked like he can't coach outside of the past 2 weeks. And we know the Chargers been riddled by injury. Look like they starting to get back on their feet. But we got Aaron Rodgers and we got Justin Fields on this bottom line. Let me get back to Green Bay, because Green Bay got to catch this smoke. We all transition this to Denver. Yeah. Green Bay got to catch this smoke. When we going to start asking questions about Matt LaFleur? Say it, Stephen A. Say Matt LaFleur, how you doing?
You know why I don't want to do it? Because Matt LaFleur complained to some people, and then you got some people in other parts of the company. He's calling Matt LaFleur out of his name. So I try to refrain. But you did ask me, so I'll do it one more time. Matt LaFleur.
You do like spending time in the South of France.
We got to call Joe Barry out, too, because they have too much talent on the defensive side of the ball to be that bad. And they got rid of Mike Pettin two years ago, and they playing like garbage juice.
And the reason why my issue with Matt LaFleur is that when you complain about him, y'all complain about defense 1 minute, special teams the next. But if you notice, whatever complaint you have at him at the beginning of the season, it's still there at the end. It's like they prepare in training camp
and then they just go along the next 16, 17 games instead of making adjustments and making sure that you eradicate the mistakes that people were pointing out. That's my issue with Green Bay's coaching staff. They don't seem to do that.
Let me tell you my, let me tell you my issue, S.A. and Bart, and here it is. Because we obviously we go focus on Aaron Rodgers. We know Aaron Rodgers has been in the center of the drama, mm-hmm. right? And even when this team was winning, it was drama at 13-3. But Matt LaFleur got insulated. Now you got the coach. And nothing about this team has changed from week one to where we are sitting right now. Yeah, you could say they've had some good offensive performances and his expertise is offense. The problem is when you're the head coach, you got to see transition throughout your entire team. There is so much failure with the Green Bay Packers. And we get stuck on Aaron Rodgers because he talked to Pat McAfee every week and he makes these statements. And y'all know I'm as hard on Aaron Rodgers as anybody in media
That's true.
To ESPN. But Matt LaFleur has been absolved of a lot of things because of Aaron Rodgers. And I thought about that when we asked this question, will Rodgers continue dominance of the Bears? Matt LaFleur has benefited, obviously, like all coaches do from having a really good quarterback.
Yeah.
But when you look at this situation this year in particular, in totality, he has also been an epic failure, along with what Green Bay has put on the field.
To your point, Swaggoo, we give a lot of credit to coaches that are system coaches. Now, listen, everybody knows I don't like the Patriots, but I have to tip my cap to Bill Belichick because Bill Belichick coaches what he has. And what we have when we have these system coaches, when the system fails, they have no adjustments. They have no plan B. And what we're seeing here, they lost a great player. They're Cooper Kupp type of player that dictated coverage and made it easier for everybody else, and they have no plan B. Andy Reid lost the greatest single weapon in the game, in my opinion, in Tyreek Hill, and he had a plan B. So we give all these young coaches that come from these systems, and we give them all this credit in the world, but they're not real coaches. They're not teachers. If their system doesn't work, they're out of ideas. And that's what we're seeing.
And then remember, we had questions as to whether or not they deserved a job in the first place. In Kingsbury's situation in Arizona, what did you do to deserve that job? In Matt LaFleur's situation in Green Bay, you were the offensive coordinator of the 27th ranked offense in the National Football League. And now the first time you really had to coach, look at what we're seeing.
My point.
We've seen coaching matters. Just look at my New York Football Giants. Look what Dable did. Turn that baby right around.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture X card. Earn unlimited 2X miles on everything you buy and turn everyday purchases into extraordinary trips. Plus, receive premium travel benefits like access to over 1,300 airport lounges and a $300 annual credit for bookings through Capital One Travel. Unlock a whole new world of travel with a Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Guys, breaking news. We do have a Stephen A. sighting. He got a little winded, so he broke into a power walk.
He gonna be there shortly with a pulled hamstring and a torn calf muscle.
Did I do that?
Arizona, we're going to be there. You ready for it?
I can accuse you of everything but buying them Christmas gifts because we know how cheap you are.
The Cowboys, for me, they go to the top of the heap.
You have lost your mind.
Fair is a place where they judge pigs.
The show today is named Second Take because you weren't here for the first take.
Other than that, I have nothing to say because I don't like your tone with me. I thought you were quite cruel and I'm hurt.
Look
at those ears.
Off of the Ohio State. Just call him Ohio State.
First off, buy a private plane.
Stop it. You don't know how much money he's making. He's unemployed right now.
Can I take a break now?
Let me see this.
Oh, that was a wrap.
Molly over here slurping in my ear on this tea.
Egyptian licorice. It's delicious.
I wonder if our bosses were watching.
They're probably laughing.
They're probably doing a standing ovation. Oh, my God. I'll let Dez react. Dez, we're a little bit out of control on the show,
My brother. I like it. I like the blazer with the hoodie look, the glasses, the fly. I mean, damn.
What did I tell you about Desmond Howard? He does not age. He is like Benjamin Button. It is ridiculous.
What's happening? What's going on? What's happening? I tell you what, since they rushed me out here, told me they were going to put me on earlier. It's like about 40 degrees out here in Arlington, Texas. Man, I'm watching you guys go back and forth. I'm like, man, I'm about to go in the meeting room. This is crazy.
Is that cold in Dallas? Is that, hey, at least you ain't paying high taxes. At least you ain't paying high taxes.
He doesn't live there. He's just
I'm just saying, but we did.
Okay, let's go.
See, if you knew that every time you go in another town, you got to pay taxes. But go ahead.
Oh, my God.
Go ahead.
Thanks for the education. Yeah. All right, taking a look at who has a chance to reach the college football playoff, assuming the top four ranked teams, Georgia, Michigan, TCU, USC, win this weekend. According to the All-State Playoff Predictor, the top three teams are locked. But they like Ohio State over USC for the last spot in the playoff, even if USC wins this weekend. Okay, Des, if USC wins, should OSU get an over them?
No, there's no logical reason or explanation for you putting Ohio State over USC. If USC has one loss, Ohio State has one loss, USC's one loss is on the road. Ohio State's one loss, you know, we all saw it. Stephen A. so eloquently described what took place in Columbus on social media. It was against their rival, the Michigan Wolverines. And then USC's the conference champ. I mean, if they win tonight and they beat Utah, they're one loss conference champ. So I don't think there's no logical explanation why you would put Ohio State over USC. Once you look at both resumes and you understand, USC lost on the road, Ohio State got beat handedly a week ago against Michigan at home against their number one rival.
Des, let me see what your response is to this. A couple of things. Number one, listen, losses happen. If Ohio State loses the game, so what? But Ohio State got their ass whipped so bad, they could end up in the playoffs, win the national championship, and if it wasn't against Michigan, we'd all look at them and be like this, y'all done ruined the season. That's how bad of a butt-whipping they got. I mean, damn. I mean, they got slaughtered, okay, in that second half. They don't deserve to be in the playoffs. Yeah. They don't even deserve the word "the" on Ohio State. It's Ohio State until further notice. That's the kind of butt-whipping that they suffered, okay? That's number one. Number two.
Right.
But what if USC loses to Utah, and that would be the second time that happened. What's your top four teams then?
Now, Stephen A., first of all, thank you for, in the previous segment, correcting that young man, bringing up Charlie Wilson. That was just a bad
That's
comparison.
Right.
I'm glad that you handled that, because I thought I was going to have to deal with that, so
That's
thank you
right.
for that. If
I
USC loses a second time to the same team, which would be Utah, then Ohio State has a legitimate argument for replacing USC. Now you're looking at a two-loss USC that did one of the most complicated things to do in college football, which is to lose to the same team twice in the same season.
Hold on.
So at that point, the Buckeyes, they will have a legitimate argument.
The hell with the Buckeyes?
For them sliding into the
It's by default.
Everyone's losing, though. Listen, the playoff selection committee already put Ohio State above Alabama, so they showed you how much love Ohio State. Yeah, well, I'm just saying they making the decision. Not if it was me and you, it may be different, but I'm just saying. So since they already placed Ohio State above Alabama, then it seems like they will sneak them into the back door.
All right. My brother, you know, great, great job on College Football Game Day. I love being there with y'all at Jackson State, by the way. But let me ask you this question, because you on First Take now, bro. I mean, ain't no guessing. I'm saying to you, you got a field goal by Tennessee, 52-49. That's one loss. You got a two-point conversion by LSU. Those are the losses that Alabama had. They didn't get bum-rushed and beat down in Tuscaloosa the way Ohio State got down on their own home turf. If I got a choice to make, I'm holding this against Ohio State. Not because they lost, but because of the beatdown that they suffered. I'm going with Alabama above Ohio State.
That's legitimate. Yeah, that's legitimate, especially if you know anything about college football. The loss to Tennessee was red hot at that point, and obviously it was a last-second field goal at the end of the game, and they lost by a point, whatever, by a field goal. But then on the road, Stephen A., you're talking about Death Valley in Baton Rouge. I tell people all the time, if that game was like a 12 o'clock kick, noon kick, different outcome. But Death Valley at nighttime is a different animal. It is a different beast. And for them to go on the road and lose that game, another close game, right? Overtime, Brian Kelly decides to go for two for the win, and they convert it. Then, yeah, those are respectable losses on the road against teams that are at the height of their season, as opposed to Ohio State against Michigan, didn't have their starting running back, who was a Heisman front runner going to that game, and we're going to the Illinois game. So I understand the comparison, and you make a valid point, Stephen A.
That's right. Alabama. One of them lose, Alabama gets in. Ohio State out.
Des, we'll be watching you this weekend, and we'll talk to you next week. Thank you so much for stopping by. Sorry you had to be in the cold for us. We appreciate you always.
Appreciate you, bro.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. We all know breakfast is part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any, and you know what happens. You grab a cup of coffee, you skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, even waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Come on. Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
We play that every year.
Yeah.
And I'm grateful that we do, but it is so hard to watch because obviously Stewart's a friend. We miss him. Yeah. And I'll just say quickly, and then I'll give the floor to you, that we all have lost people that we love to cancer. Everybody has. And this v.org/Stewart, I want to make sure I get it right, 100% of the proceeds are going towards cancer research. So it's a team effort. If you have the ability, please give.
Well, you're right. We've all lost loved ones. I lost my mother to cancer. Got my two nephews here in the studio with me. That was their grandma. They loved her so much. Stewart Scott is one of the greatest people we've ever known in this industry. He was friends to us all. He was a big brother and a mentor to a lot of us, myself included. When you consider the personalities and the diverse personalities that are on this air and people articulating and expressing themselves in certain ways, Stewart made all of that possible.
Yeah.
It was people like him that came on the ESPN and put the world on notice that there was so much talent emanating from my community that a great network like ESPN, a company like Walt Disney and various others needed to take a strong, hard look at, because we brought so much to the table. That happens when you have an individual that establishes such a level of excellence that it makes everybody else look and say, what else is out there?
Yeah.
Just because of him. So we miss him, we
and
love him.
And he did it being him. And that's
always
the biggest thing.
One of the best people I've ever known.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I remember being at NFL Network and him reaching out and encouraging me, and then obviously back to ESPN.
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, all right. Hope everyone has a fabulous weekend. We'll see you on Monday.
All right.